This episode was created with the support of Free FM, Hamilton, New Zealand's community access media organisation. Visit us at freefm.org.nz.
Om Sairam to our listeners. Welcome to Say News number 1125. And today we'll be hearing part one of a talk that was given by Mr. Satyajit Salian in USA during the World Conference. A once-in-a-lifetime revelation from the man who lived beside the divine. Step into a world where dreams turn into divine encounters, where the unseen becomes real, and where every moment of life is curated by the Master himself, Sri Satya Sai Baba. In this gripping talk, Mr. Satyajit, who served as the personal attendant of Sri Satya Sai Baba for over a decade, opens the door to experiences the blur that line between the earthly and the eternal. So let's get straight into this talk, which is part one.
Om Shri Sai Ram, offering loving and prayerful salutations at Bhagwan's lotus feet. It's nice to see the auditorium like the grin of a seven-year-old with gaps in the teeth. It's very beautiful to see the peace after 5 hectic days of work. It's good to stay back and breathe and reflect on the days gone by, to cool down from the high of the 100th year celebrations. I know there is a withdrawal symptom from the high. I was looking at the various news feeds and various feeds from various places across the world, including from Puttaparthi. Seems to have been a very big celebration. Our celebration was lovely. Everywhere across India, London, I got some feedback from there. Wonderful celebrations there. We have finished the 100th birthday. And after 100 comes a lull, because it's such a big milestone that has just passed by, that all of a sudden we feel directionless. Statistically, you know, from statistics, it is known that the number of deaths after a birthday are more than the number of deaths before the birthday. There is a lull. We don't know. We don't know the direction that we want to go to. And it's at that point of time that we need to realize that 100 was not really that big a number. We come back to the other thesis of mine, of what I had proposed way back in during the regional summit in Poconos Mountains. Is 100 really significant in the larger scheme of things? Who is Sai? Who is this divine master? How do we know that he is with us always? Yesterday, I had completed my speech. I had ended with that incident on the 86th birthday of Swami, the first birthday after he had left his mortal coils. And I spoke about how I had that vision of Swami, a dream of Swami, giving CPR and in a way resurrecting me from that that Ahalya-like living, like that deathly living, in his grief. And the reason that had such an impact, that incident had such an impact, that dream had such an impact on me, was because he had curated all the life's experiences in my life. He has, as is the case with each one of us. And that curation, that is so meticulously done, that when we eventually, when we sit in reflection, when we can sit and observe one's breath, do that soham mantra, observe the breath going in and out, when the mind calms down and you find the entire past connecting back, that's when you realize that he has curated every single experience in my life. Because on that day, as soon as I got up from that sleep with that dream, completely shaken up of having seen, had that dream of Swami doing the resurrection, I had gone and told my friend, told a brother of mine who was there with us. I told him, I don't know, man, there was a very strange dream that I had of seeing Swami and Swami doing a resurrection. I don't know whether Swami doing a CPR. I don't know whether he's indicating that I'm going to get a heart attack or what. Should I become more fit and all those things. The confusion was there immediately. But the very next moment, the mind latched back to an incident 4 years earlier in 2007, when we had returned from Vrindavan. We had started from Vrindavan around somewhere around 10 or 11 o'clock We had gone, we had made a pit stop, and then we came to Parthi around 3-ish in the afternoon. And it was, you know, extremely hot. I think probably it was 2008. And Swami had come back. It was very, very hot. And Swami said that, I remember Swami getting down from the car, taking an aarti in the Kulwant Hall, and then sitting back in the car, and we went to Yajur Mandir. And Swami was exhausted, understandably so. And Swami said, I will take rest. Vallaki chappu, aarti ichcheyamani chappu sayankalam. So you tell them that, let them give the aarti. I will not come for bhajans today. So I called up the brother who was in charge of that and said that, you know, Swami won't be coming for darshan today. After bhajans, please give aarti. And I quickly got the room. I had quickly gone up, made the room ready, came down, took Swami's wheelchair, went up the lift. And you know, Swami was resting on the bed. And Swami said, "Nukura Panduko," Swami said, you also take rest. You also must be tired. You also take rest. So I brought my mattress. I put my mattress down and lay down. It was the air condition had not yet kicked in. It was still sweltering hot in Swami's room. You know, I want you to visualize that beautiful room of Swami. A big, nice king-side wooden bed in the middle. The bed is, you know, any bed is big for Swami, but this bed was really big. And Swami curled up in one corner of the bed, the small little Swami, always onto one side. He was curled up on the bed. The western window, the sun had started setting. It was 3 o'clock and was blazing hot. You know, even though the curtains were there, we could feel the heat of the sun coming from the Sarvadharma Stupa side. I want you to visualize the whole thing. Right? And that was the scene. And in that heat, I lay down and, you know, again I slept. Just like I had slept for 2 minutes on next to that Yajur Mandir chair, and when I saw that vision, same kind of a sleep I got here. And as I slept, I suddenly saw Mother Ishwaramma standing at Swami's feet, and I could see the conversation between Swami and Mother Ishwaramma. I could hear what they were talking. You know, they were, you know, Chala Santosham Swami, Swami Alau Naru, and the way the mother was lovingly asking Swami, you know, Chala Bauna, Nunu Endu Kachau, why did you come? You know, I'm all right. Aun Swami, I'm seeing that, you know, the boys are all taking good care of you. All these discussions are happening between them. And the dream faded away. I opened my eyes and I was on the bed relishing the dream. I'm just relishing that experience of having had the dream of Mother Ishwaramma in the same place, the same heat of the sun in the dream, that window giving that, get that light in that, the ethereal light of the sun filtered through the curtains coming through. And in that ethereal light, I had seen Mother Ishwaramma. With the same heat, I even in the dream I was feeling the same heat. Every experience was, but it was a dream. And I opened my eyes and relished it for a couple of seconds. And then I just looked up. I was on my bed. I looked up. I know that Swami's bed is up there. I just looked at Swami. Swami has pulled out his blanket and is looking at me. And I got up. Chusava, chusava, chusava. He asked me, "Did you see? Did you see? Did you see?" I jumped out of my bed. I told Swami, Amma darshanam ayyindamma. So I told Swami, I had Amma's darshan. Adera, ade aduktunnanu. That's what I'm asking you. Chusava? I told Swami, chusan Swami, darshanam ayyindi Swami. But he said, the word that he used was, pasupchira, pacha ravaki pacha sira veskoni vachindi. So he told that pacha is a word that can be used. So, but I said, Swami, no Swami, I saw green blouse and yellow sari, right? Adera randitki pacha antaru, right? So, Swami said both are called pacha. One is called the leaf pacha, other is called the turmeric pacha. Pacha is the word that is common word. Randitki pacha antaru. Right? Swami is confirming, he had created that confusion and is confirming to me, yes, that Mother Ishwaram has come. The continued relationship of the mother, and then he went on to talk for a long time, you know, how she keeps returning, how her love is the one that continues to keep her attached to the body, and she keeps coming. And to me, that became such an anchoring moment of, you know, which yes, pacha. Okay, so pacha is a word. Pacha is a word for green. Pacha is a word for green, but it's a in Telugu it's a different word. It's when you say aku pacha, it means the green of the leaf. But you can also say pasupu pacha. Pasupu is turmeric. It is the green of the turmeric, which is actually yellow. So it's a pasupu pacha ante. When we say pasupu pacha, it is yellow. And when you say aku pacha, it is green. So it's a common word that is used in this thing. But I not knowing Telugu, I said, because Swami said pacha, I know pacha only as green. Right? But I had seen Mother Ishwarama with a yellow sari and a green blouse. And Swami is clarifying, randit ki pacha antaru. For both the, thank you for asking, sir, because I could clarify. For both the words, Swami said, it is, he's reconfirming that yes, she was wearing yellow and green. To me, it's so important for this clarification, made it even more, grounded in my memory that yes, it was not only that I had seen the right thing, Swami had confirmed that it was Mother Ishwarama. And later on in many discourses, he had spoken about it. He had spoken to boys this guy also had seen Mother Ishwarama. She keeps coming, etc. So for me, the takeaway point in 2011, after I had that vision of Swami, was this connect that when Mother Ishwarama, her love for Swami could bring her back. What about Swami? Just look at the love that Swami has for us, and what prevents him from coming back again and again. Right? That solidified for me the permanence of Bhagwan in our lives. For me, without that curated experience, that's why you don't understand. It was one incident of seeing Mother Ishwarama. I didn't know the significance and the importance of that incident at that point of time. But without that, I would have considered this only to be a dream of Swami's thing, only a dream. But because I linked the two, because I could put that connection together in my mind, all doubts, everything else faded. It was a lived experience for me. I think that's the important thing that I'm trying to convey here is that every single aspect of our life, dear brothers and sisters, has been curated by Swami. And it only, what we need is to sit back, reflect and connect the dots. And that reflection is needed, and that is our sadhana. We don't have to, what Swami keeps telling, nama japa and bhajan, kirtan, etc. That is not the only sadhana. Only that is not enough. You need to reflect on yourself. You have to focus on your soham mantra, on your breath. You have to take the time off to calm the mind, to shut that mind, to make that monkey mind shut up, so that we can see the connection in life where it is all connected. We are all one. That aspect and that one sadhana has given me so much of courage these last few years that I cannot even explain about this. But who is Swami? Who is this 100-year-old Baba of ours, right? That to me, he had started pushing towards Lord Krishna. I was a devotee of Lord Rama, because before I came to Swami, I always had heard stories of Krishna being, the politician who had a dicey past kind of a thing, right? So I had never heard the full version of Krishna. I could not understand Krishna. The simplicity of Rama was more the straightforwardness, straight like an arrow. Rama was the more ideal God for me. And when Swami had asked me in Kodaikanal during that incident where he had given me the handkerchief and those things were going on, he had asked me, कौन सा पसंद है, कौन पसंद है, रामा पसंद है, कृष्णा पसंद है, रामा अच्छा लगता है, कृष्णा अच्छा लगता है, who do you like, रामा और कृष्णा? I told Swami, रामा स्वामी, कृष्णा अच्छा नहीं है? I told, don't you like कृष्णा? I told Swami, कृष्णा also, but रामा अच्छा ज़्यादा पसंद है? Yes Swami, रामा more. And all the boys are sitting there and I was sitting at his feet and he's asking me, what about बालकृष्णा? What about small कृष्णा? Now small Krishna is innocent and cute and this thing, Kali Swami, Bal Krishna bahut acha hai. And he materialized a very tiny silver Krishna idol of the crawling Krishna, one hand up and the one leg, etc. And he told, rakh sakta hai. he was slowly nudging me towards Krishna. Sorry? Yes. Who do you like, Rama? Do you like Krishna? Do you like Rama more? Do you like Krishna? Don't. What about Balakrishna? Do you like the small Krishna, the tiny Krishna? I told, yes, Swami, the tiny Krishna I love. And yes, because tiny Krishna is cute, right? So I said, yes, Swami. And then he materialized this and gave it to me, saying that, okay, this is the tiny Krishna for you. But what the full impact of Bhagwan, of being there as a perennial avatar came to me one night. I have narrated this, of course. I want it to be narrated on the day after the 100th birthday to again establish, drive home the point that 100 is insignificant with Sai, right? Because he is a perennial presence. He is a continual presence, continued presence in all of us. And that night, probably it was during those Dasara nights, or I don't exactly remember when it was, because dates merge in those 13 years. You don't have a clear distinction of what was when, which month, which year. It's very difficult to break it down because the experience is so big, the experience is so bright in the memory that the calendars lose its significance. So here was Swami lying, the frail Swami. The body was weakening, the body was going through its natural deterioration in the 83rd or the 82nd year, and he would need support to get up and lie down. And at that point of time, one night I saw him tossing and turning in the bed. It was around 2 o'clock in the night, and that kind of a sounds. I woke up to that, and I was scared. I just got up. I was lying on the floor. I got up, and I was seeing Swami turn and toss around. And I held Swami. I slowly touched Swami. I don't know whether I should touch, not touch, wake him up. What is my action? I don't know. This was my first experience of seeing Swami that way. And the moment I touched him, hey, tisai, raktam. He's telling that, oh, remove, take it out. It's all blood. It's covered in blood. Raktam. And I told Swami, yem Swami. What happened, Swami? Nothing. There's no blood, Swami. Hey, chi. He's telling, no. It's not chi. He didn't say chi. Raktam. He's telling, it's all blood. And I told, lepu. It will lift me up. And then I not slowly, gradually brought the wheelchair, took next to the chair, and slowly made him sit. Hey, tisai. And ipde champanu. I have just now killed him. I'm not able to figure out what is Swami talking about, right? He's saying, I just now killed him. Raktamandana apaina padindi. I have just now killed him. All the blood has fallen on me, right? On Swami, Swamina padindi. Na paina kadu. He never uses the word na. He never uses me or I. He always uses Swami paina. Raktam padindi. All the blood has fallen. All the blood has fallen. Chudu, see, the bed is all filled with blood. Marche. Change it. I was not able to figure out what he's talking about. Then I wheeled Swami inside. I told, Sanam chestano. I told, I'll have bath. I want to have bath. And then he calmed down and he said that, I have just now killed Ravanasura. Right? I have just now killed Ravana. And when I shot the arrow, the blood had all fallen on me, on Swami. And he's feeling that I need to freshen up again. Right? It took me hours and days to compose myself after that. You know, all that we used to see was that frail Swami of who needed care, who needed to be taken care of, who needed to be protected. You always bring out the motherly feeling in all of us. No, to can we, should we not take care of him? I want to take better care of him, etc. And all of a sudden, you suddenly see that vision of immensity of Bhagwan's presence. That in that small moment, he is eternity. He is living eternity momentarily. Every moment by moment, he is living eternity, right? And after that, he went to the washroom, freshened up completely, had a fresh abhishekam, changed his clothes, came back, sat on the wheelchair, supervised me, you know, changing the entire bed sheet. I took the blanket inside, brought a fresh blanket. He told Tipu, turn the bed. That was a huge bed. I single-handedly pulled and pulled, covered in sweat, and I turned the bed upside down. Reversed it, put a new bed sheet, put a new blanket, and then Swami was beautiful and calm. It was around 4 o'clock in the morning, and then he made me sit, Trakucho. And for nearly an hour, he spoke about that incident of Rama killing Ravana, and how he had sent Lakshmana to listen to him. What a great jnani Ravana was. He was a Brahmana. He was a Brahmin, and he had all the knowledge, all kinds of knowledge. He was much, much more educated than Rama could ever be. That's what he said. Rama knew only 16. He had all the 64 kalas, and he has spoken about this in multiple occasions. And all those things he told, and he said how Lakshmana was sent. All these things he was narrating, it was a first person account. It was so intense that day, and to me that started establishing, to me that was like one of the most, the eternity aspect of Swami is theoretical till then. He's omniscient, omnipresent. Those are all words, right, which we are keeping in the intellect. We keep turning that word around in the head, but it never was established in the heart. But that incident was so powerful, I don't have words, adjectives to describe that. And that's the eternity of Swami that got established in my mind at that point of time. That 100 is actually a very small number, right? And it is our continuous sadhana that is important for us to be able to understand that. And this was a constant question with me. If he was Swami, all of us have these questions. What was I in the previous life? If he has been coming again and again, did I come earlier? This of course is a question in every one of your minds. Was I one of those monkeys in the war? Was I one of those Gopikas? Was I one of the playmates of Krishna? Was I in the war of the Kurukshetra? All these questions keep coming, and it was naturally one of the questions in my mind. Where was I? And I remember, because we are sharing incident after incident, I take you back to the very first day that I entered Swami's room. I was still a student. It was 1996. I was an MBA student. Swami was, at that point of time, he was slowly grooming me. Arvind beautifully explained the challenges of the hostel, about how you are one amongst them, and then there is a push and pull of all the hostel boys and etc. And within that, he had to pick one of these youngsters and train him for some work in the future, right? And he would obviously give more chances. He used the word form boys. He would give some chances to some boys. I have seen boys misusing that, thinking that they are untouchable, they are beyond the thing, and destroying their own opportunity. There are some who really understand the significance of what is being given and raise up to the expectations. And there are many youngsters who have stayed on in Puttaparthi, continued to serve for years together. I was being groomed at that point of time. Now, Swami has the big challenge in the hostel of balancing this, right? To deal with the jealousy of the other boys, to the envy of the other boys, and this and that. So he wanted to take me to Vrindavan, right? And this was in the middle of the semester. He had told the warden in Nitiskaltanu, I will take this boy to Vrindavan. There was some work in Vrindavan. He had to go to Vrindavan for a day. He said, do one thing. I will tell so-and-so person to pick you up. You go to the super speciality hospital near the Parthi super speciality hospital and stand on the road there. I will come and pick you up on the road, right? He doesn't want me to sit in the car in front of everybody else, right? To keep you, protect you from the evil eye, in a way, kind of thing. Because till he has established credibility of the boys around him, he doesn't want people to start feeling jealous, right? So, and then establishing of credibility is the second chapter that he was talking about. The grilling, etc., the samskarana that has to happen, samskara that needs to happen, that hammering, that firing of things happens internally. But till that is done, you're still susceptible to the attacks and the evil eye. So he tells you, go there. So early in the morning, 7 o'clock, in it was winter time, and I was on the road. In this, and I'm excited, super excited that, you know, I'll get a chance to go all the way to Vrindavan with Swami. And Swami's car came. He stopped outside the super speciality hospital, made me sit in the car, and then we went to Vrindavan. So this was a memorable experience. I had gone there to Vrindavan, and for the first time, Swami told, "Ra, paikra," and he told, "Come to the room." And he takes me inside his own room, his bedroom, and he shows me around. So he opens, he said, "This is my room, that is my storeroom, and that storeroom is filled with stuff to be all distributed to devotees," right? He opens a big cupboard and, you know, he shows me it's filled with dhotis, nice silk dhotis, cotton dhotis, angavastram, the upper garment, etc. Then he closes that. He opens second things full of various kinds of suits, white safari suits, different suit lengths, etc., filled with suits. He opens the third one, dazzling with saris, right? The kanchi saris, the Banarasi saris, the various sections well folded and kept. By the way, I have become an expert in opening and folding saris, kind of a thing, because that's part of your training, right? Swami will suddenly anchu chupichu, show me the border, or pai tu chupichu, he'll tell that show me the thing that comes here. So you have to know exactly what to open and show him, right? And then he'll say that I want the nemalidi tiskura. He'll tell that I want the peacock ones. So you have to be clear that, okay, this is, you need to know where are the peacock border ones, and you bring the peacock borders, and etc. And Swami would match, mix and match the complexion of the person. That we are not supposed to know, right? He'll tell that, avada kuncham telladi, kuncham nalla chira tiskuravali. I mean, she is fair skinned. I think we should bring a darker sari, right? And that kind of, so the all these so for fulfilling those mix and match things, the saris are of various colors. Safaris are only gray and white and gray and black, not too much of color choices here, but the saris had no. So that's the third cupboard he opens. Then he comes and there's a small cupboard, he opens that has got only dhotis and his robes, right? Everything, so most of the things, the big things in his room are all for the devotees, and there is a small thing for him. And then he shows his hairbrush. He brushes his hair and shows, he's saying that, "This is how I brush my hair." He's got a very unique way of brushing. It's that the hairbrush, and he will lift it up. Like, then he puts his brush inside and he pulls it down, pulls it here, and covers his hair. And then, then he would do this. Is it good? It's good? So I bound something, right? and his eyes will twinkle. And Swami, chala bond, oh, chala bond, he'll make those faces. And and then he went inside his bathroom and he started showing me his toothbrush, his shaving thing. His toothbrush, it's like hair, right? It's not that bristles, not that plastic bristles. It was something like hair, that very soft. This thing, this is what I use. Everything is like he wants. Everything to be shared, kind of a thing.
So get ready for part two next week. Saram to you all.
This Free FM podcast was brought to you with support from New Zealand On Air.